All right, so welcome everyone to another deep dive. And today we're going to be taking a look at a
Let's
really interesting case from Michigan, and it's Ypsilanti Township versus General Motors Corporation.
Oh yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, this one, for our listeners out there, especially those of you who are maybe in law school right now, this is one that I think
Definitely.
you're going to want to know. And it has to do with promissory estoppel.
Yeah, big time. And a lot of times, students and even practicing attorneys, I think sometimes they get a little bit confused about what exactly a promissory estoppel is and how it works. And this is just a great case to really highlight all the different elements of it and show how it can play out in a real world scenario.
And this case, it really kind of gets at the heart of how promises are viewed in the world of business, especially when you're talking about negotiations between like big corporations and municipalities. To kind of set the stage here,
Sure.
we're in Ypsilanti Township,
Okay.
Michigan, and we've got this plant, the Willow Run plant,
Right.
and this was a huge employer,
Enormous.
for this area. And we're talking back in the 1980s,
Okay.
and GM, they approached the township with this idea of, we'll give you some tax breaks, some abatements,
Right.
and in exchange for that, maybe we can maintain or even boost the number of jobs that we have here at this plant.
Yeah, that's a classic move. This is something that local governments do all the time. They're trying to incentivize businesses to either stay in the area or to relocate to the area by offering them, tax breaks and other kinds of financial incentives. And it's really all about trying to boost the local economy, bring in more jobs and just generally improve the economic well-being of the community. And so Ypsilanti Township, they're thinking, this is okay. We can lock in GM, for the long haul. They're a major player in the auto industry. This is good for us.
And so the township, they agree, they grant these abatements to GM. And then fast forward a little bit, we get to 1991, and this is where things kind of take a turn. Because GM announces that they're going to move production down to Texas.
Not good.
Yeah, you can imagine, the township.
No, I bet people were not happy.
Yeah, they felt like, GM had basically gone back on their word. And so they decided to sue.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they're taking them to court.
Yeah, and their argument was basically, during those discussions that we had about these tax abatements,
Right.
GM made all these statements that really amounted to a promise that they would keep the plant open.
Interesting. Okay, and so legally speaking, what are they basing their case on?
So this is where the concept of promissory estoppel comes into play.
Oh yeah, that's the big one.
And the idea behind a promissory estoppel is basically that even if you don't have like a formal written contract,
Right.
Something that explicitly spells out, all the terms and conditions, there can still be a legally binding promise if certain conditions are met.
Right. And so what are those conditions?
Yeah, so basically there are four key elements that you have to have for promissory estoppel to apply.
Okay, weigh it on me.
The first one is that there has to be a clear and definite promise.
Okay, so it can't just be like a vague suggestion or, something that's open to interpretation. It has to be like a real solid promise.
Exactly, like something that a reasonable person would understand to be a commitment.
Gotcha.
The second element is that the party who received the promise,
Okay.
so the promisee,
Right.
they have to have relied on that promise.
Okay, took it seriously.
Yeah, they took it seriously and they acted on it.
Yeah.
The third element is that the promisee has to have suffered some kind of harm or detriment.
Okay, so like they changed their position based on that promise, and then they got hurt somehow because the promise wasn't kept.
Exactly. And then the final element
Okay.
is that enforcing the promise has to be necessary to prevent an injustice. So like the court has to step in and say, look, this promise needs to be upheld, otherwise something really unfair is going to happen.
Yeah, like it would be fundamentally unfair to allow the promisor to just back out of their promise.
Okay, so that's promissory estoppel in a nutshell.
Right. And so in this case, the township, they're arguing that GM made all these promises about keeping the plant open and that they relied on those promises to their detriment when they granted those tax
Yeah,
abatements.
because they gave up something of value. They gave up that tax revenue based on the understanding that GM was going to stick around.
Exactly. And they're saying that, if GM is allowed to just break those promises, then that's going to be a huge injustice.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
And we even have some specific examples of the kind of language that GM used during these discussions.
Oh, really? Like, what kind of things were they saying?
Well, you know, their representatives would say things like, the plant would remain open, subject to market demand. Subject to market demand. That's interesting.
Yeah. On the surface, it sounds reasonable. Like,
yeah, I mean, any business has to.
Of course, they have to be responsive to the market.
Right. But the question is, you know, legally speaking, what does that phrase actually mean?
Right. Does that create a binding obligation, or is it just kind of like a, you know, we hope this happens, but no guarantees kind of statement?
Exactly.
So what happened next? Did the court buy the township's argument?
So it's actually really interesting because the trial court.
Okay.
Initially, they sided with Ypsilanti.
Oh, wow. So they actually ruled in favor of the township.
They did. They said, yeah, there was enough evidence here of a promise.
Okay.
And detrimental reliance to justify using promissory estoppel.
Wow. And they even tried to stop GM from closing the plant?
They did. They actually issued an injunction.
Oh, wow. So this was serious business.
Yeah. They were saying like, no, you can't close this plant.
Yeah.
You made these promises. You got to keep them.
Wow. So they really felt like GM had done wrong here. Yeah. And you know, I think that initial ruling really shows you just how powerful this idea of promissory estoppel can be, you know, when a court believes that breaking a promise would lead to a serious injustice.
Right, right. It's not just about the letter of the law. It's about what's fair and equitable.
Exactly.
Okay. But I'm guessing this isn't the end of the story because you said the court initially ruled in favor of the township. So what happened next?
Well, you know, as you might expect, GM, they appealed the decision.
Of course, yeah. They're going to fight back.
Right. And so the case went up to the Michigan Court of Appeals.
Okay. And what did they say?
And this is where things took another turn.
Oh, okay.
Because the appellate court, they actually reversed the trial court's decision.
Oh, wow. So they sided with GM.
They did. And their reasoning is really important.
Okay. All ears.
Because they basically said, you know, those statements that GM made,
yeah,
they weren't clear and definite enough.
Oh, interesting.
To be considered actual promises under the law.
Okay, so they're saying it wasn't a real promise in the legal sense.
Exactly. And this is where we have to go back to those elements of promissory estoppel that we talked about.
Right, right. Those four key ingredients.
Right. And so the appellate court, they really focused on that first element.
Okay, the clear and definite promise element.
Exactly. And right. They said, you know, GM, they use all this qualified language.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying things like subject to market demand.
Right, right.
And what the court said was basically that kind of language.
Yeah.
It introduces a condition. It doesn't create an unconditional commitment.
Right. So basically saying GM was leaving themselves an out. They were saying, you know, we'll do our best to keep this plant open, but if the market changes, we might have to change our plans.
Exactly. And the court, they even use this phrase, corporate puffery.
Corporate puffery? What does that even mean?
It's basically this idea that, you know, in business negotiations,
yeah,
there's often a lot of, you know, optimistic talk.
Sure. I mean, everyone wants to put their best foot forward.
Right. And the court is saying, you know, you have to distinguish between that kind of general talk and a real legally binding promise.
Okay. So just because a company says something positive during a negotiation doesn't necessarily mean they're legally obligated to follow through on it.
Exactly. And so they said, you know, some of what GM said might have been puffery.
Interesting.
And not a real promise.
Okay, I see.
And then they went on to look at the second element of promissory estoppel.
Okay, the reasonable reliance element?
Yeah, and they questioned whether it was really reasonable,
okay,
for Ypsilanti Township,
right,
to rely on those statements from GM as absolute guarantees.
Okay, so they're saying maybe the township should have known better.
Yeah, they said, you know, you're a governmental entity.
Right.
You should understand how business works.
Yeah, you should know that things change.
Exactly, and especially in an industry like the auto industry, which is, you know, very volatile.
Yeah, totally subject to all sorts of economic ups and downs.
Right. And so they're saying, you know, you can't just take these statements at face value.
Okay.
You have to do your due diligence.
Yeah, you got to do your homework.
Exactly. And then the court made another really important point.
Oh, what's that?
About those statements that GM made regarding job creation.
Okay.
During the tax abatement hearings.
Right.
They said, you know, a lot of times those kinds of statements,
yeah,
they're not actually intended as promises.
Yeah.
They're more like a condition that you have to meet,
okay,
in order to get the tax breaks in the first place.
So it's like a requirement, not a promise.
Exactly. They said, you know, when GM was talking about creating jobs,
right,
what they were really doing was saying, hey, This is what we have to do in order to qualify for these abatements.
In order to get what we want.
Exactly. And they even use this really key phrase.
Okay.
They said, representations of job creation are a statutory prerequisite, not a promise.
Oh, wow. That's a really important distinction.
It is. It's basically saying those statements were part of a regulatory process.
Right.
Not a contractual promise.
It's like checking a box on a form.
Yeah.
You know, you have to say this in order to get the benefit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean you're making a binding commitment beyond that.
Exactly. And so, you know, when you look at all of that, the appellate court, they basically said, you know, there wasn't a clear and definite promise here.
Right.
And maybe the township shouldn't have relied on those statements as guarantees.
Yeah.
And so they ruled in favor of GM.
Wow. Okay, so that's a pretty big blow to the township.
It was, and you know, this decision, it really had a big impact on how municipalities approach these kinds of negotiations with corporations.
Right, because, I mean, every town, every city, they want to attract businesses. They want to create jobs.
Right, and they're often willing to offer tax breaks and other incentives to do that.
Sure, but now they have to be much more careful about the language that's used in these agreements.
Exactly. The big takeaway here is that you need to get everything in writing.
Yeah. Get it in writing.
And be very specific about the terms.
Yeah, because vague promises and good intentions, they're not going to hold up in court.
Exactly. You can't just rely on hope and optimism.
Right. You need clear, concrete commitments.
Right. And you know, our source material that actually raises a really interesting hypothetical question.
Oh, what's that?
It says, what if GM had actually guaranteed a specific number of jobs at that plant for a set period of time?
Wow.
Like, let's say they had said, we guarantee 2,000 jobs for 10 years.
Okay.
You know, as a condition of getting these tax abatements.
Interesting.
Would that have changed the outcome of the case?
That's a great question, because now you're talking about a much more concrete and specific promise.
Right.
You're not talking about market demand or, you know, best efforts.
Yeah.
You're saying we are guaranteeing this number of jobs for this specific period of time.
Exactly. And I think it's safe to say that that kind of language would have significantly strengthened the township's case.
Absolutely. Because now you've eliminated the ambiguity.
Right.
You've got clear terms. You've got a definite commitment.
Exactly. And that's really what the court was looking for in this case.
Right. They were looking for something that was unambiguous, something that clearly showed that GM intended to be bound by this promise.
Exactly. And you know, this whole situation, it really highlights this inherent tension that exists between, you know, the needs of a community and the needs of a corporation.
Yeah. Because on the one hand, you have the community that's desperate for jobs and economic growth.
Right.
And they're willing to make concessions to attract businesses.
Right. But on the other hand, you have the corporation that needs to be able to adapt to changing market conditions.
Exactly. Like, you can always predict the future with certainty.
Right. And so it's this balancing act.
Absolutely. It's finding that sweet spot where you can incentivize businesses to invest in your community without putting yourself at undue risk.
Right. And I think Ypsilanti versus GM, it really shows us that both sides need to be incredibly clear and specific.
Yeah.
About what they're promising and what they're expecting.
Yeah. No more vague assurances or handshake deals. You got to put it all in writing and make sure it's clear and unambiguous.
Exactly. And so, you know, for our listeners out there, especially those of you who are in law school right now.
Right.
The key takeaway here is that promissory estoppel.
Yeah.
It's not just a fallback for, you know, unmet expectations.
Right. It's not a magic wand. You can just wave whenever someone breaks a promise.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to have those four elements that we talked about.
Right. A clear and definite promise, reasonable reliance detriment, and the need to prevent an injustice.
Exactly. And you have to be able to show that the promisor really intended to be bound by their promise.
Yeah, and that their actions led the promise to rely on that promise to their detriment.
Exactly.
And for anyone who's involved in these kinds of public-private partnerships, whether you're a government official or a business executive, this case is a stark reminder
that you need to be incredibly careful about the legal agreements that you're entering into.
Right.
You can't just rely on verbal assurances or assumptions of goodwill.
Exactly.
Get everything in writing, make sure it's clear and unambiguous, and have your attorneys review it carefully.
Absolutely, because the legal bar for enforcing a promise outside of a formal contract is very high.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Right. So, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive into Ypsilanti Township versus General Motors,
yes,
I think it really leaves us with a lot to think about.
Absolutely.
You know, what strategies can municipalities use
Right.
to better protect their interests
Yeah.
when they're negotiating with these big corporations?
Yeah. How can they make sure that they're getting real commitments and not just empty promises?
Exactly. You know, it's clear that just hoping for the best
Right.
is not a good strategy.
No hope is not a legal strategy.
Exactly. You have to be proactive.
Right.
You have to do your due diligence.
Yeah.
You have to understand the nuances of the language that's being used. And you have to make sure that you're getting those explicit contractual terms.
Right, because at the end of the day, it's about protecting the interests of the community and making sure that everyone benefits from these economic development deals.
Exactly. Well said.
So, yeah, lots to think about.
Yeah, lots to think about.
This was a great case to discuss.
Yeah, I'm glad we did this deep dive.
Me too. It's always fascinating to see how these legal principles play out in the real world.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive.
Take care.
Bye.